that we come back to a true understanding of who we are. Because if I'm afraid, how am I going to be peaceful? It's not possible. And so materialistic consciousness, materialistic identity, and connected with that fear, and definitely I've lost all peace of mind. And I'm going to have to be working hard to try and stabilize my mind until I get to the awareness of who I really am. And when I come back to this awareness of the inner being, the spiritual being, the identity of the self, then in that state, I'm not afraid. Why? Because then I know that I'm a spiritual being, but also because I know that my state of mind is going to be able to help my body stay healthy or become healthy. And so in spiritual awareness and consciousness, I have strength and I also have peace of mind. Without that inner awareness of who I am, I'm not going to be able to hold my mind in any level of stability. My mind is going to be very anxious and fearful for myself, fearful for my loved ones, and I want to hang on to everything. The thing about ego is the I, but also with ego comes my. I and my are very closely linked. And so with ego, also the next neighbor is attachment. And so the possessiveness that I feel. And so change that situation to coming back to the awareness of the inner being, the spiritual identity of the self. And I'm dealing with fear, I'm dealing with ego, I'm able to finish off the possessiveness that I've been hanging on to.
So you talk about the spiritual identity. Is it enough just to say to be aware of the spiritual identity? So how do we become aware of the spiritual identity?
I think the first step is to actually acknowledge that I haven't given much attention to the inner being. I've been very concerned about the external, the physical, and the clothes that I wear, the house that I live in, the car that I have, and all of these trappings that are connected with the ego of I, that I haven't actually sat down and asked myself the question, who am I? Or if I have, then I go, oh, that's too complicated. I'm not going to think about it anymore. But one of the opportunities that we've been offered through lockdown is the fact that we have time. And we don't know what to do with all our time, probably. But maybe if I make a timetable for myself and say, I'm going to give myself a little space, however long it is you want, whether it's 10 minutes, whether it's 30 minutes, whether it's 60 minutes, but create that time for yourself to go on an inner journey. And you'll be able to see that, you know, my body is here, but my mind can go anywhere. And so lockdown is for the body. Lockdown is not for the mind. The mind can travel and I can be with my loved ones, wherever they may be, in this country or far away, wherever it is. And so what happens is that I begin to be aware that there's a part of me which isn't physical. My mind is definitely not physical. I can create thoughts about my past. I can think about the future. I can travel across the continents without any aeroplane or ticket or quarantine rules, nothing. My mind is free. And so I recognize that my thoughts are not physical. And so that's me. I am the way I think. Another part of me, my feelings. Can anyone measure what love is? Or when I say something is beautiful, how do I measure that? Do I measure the beauty of a rose by taking a tape and trying to measure its diameter or by the length of its stem? It's not going to work. It's not going to give you any idea of what is the beauty of a rose. But there's something absolutely special about it. And so these are things that are not physical. We can't measure them, we can't weigh them, And so my thoughts, my feelings fit into this category. My personality, my memory. Can I weigh my memory? Yesterday, I can't even remember what I had for supper, but I can remember so clearly an event that happened 10 years ago because it was so moving, so touching, it's imprinted in my heart. So how do I measure that? Time, distance, nothing works. So when I begin to reflect on the inner being, I begin to realize that there's all these things which make up me as a personality that I've never thought about, that I've never touched. And so now is the time to explore all of this and see what's going on deep within my own inner world. And so becoming aware of that inner being that I am means starting this inner dialogue with my mind, with my feelings, with my thoughts, and being able to see what's going on inside of myself. And when I begin to do this, I begin to discover that I can actually make my thoughts very calm. I can slow down the speed of my thoughts, and I can also experience peace in that way. And so it's very simple, it's not difficult, but it's just that we've never given it attention. And so if I now have the opportunity, the luxury of time, and start giving it attention, then I can make a beautiful discovery about my own inner world. And it's like, you know, if I want to get to know you, I'm not going to get to know you just by saying hello, hi, goodbye, but I need to spend time with you. And if we spend time together, we have a dialogue together, we're going to be able to know each other better. And when we know each other better, we can respect each other, we can love each other, and we can work together. Same thing. I don't know myself. I react in ways that I hadn't expected. I didn't know what was going on, not just even in my thoughts and feelings, but even deeper. You know, what's my attitude? Why do I have this particular attitude to this individual and a different attitude to that one? And so I come with preconceptions. And so I put labels on people and they don't work. If somebody were to put labels on me, how much would they know about me? But if I spend time with somebody, they do get to know me. So when I go deep inside, away from all these labels about myself, and I begin to see who I truly am, I uncover the treasures that I carry within myself. And the biggest treasure of this is peace.
So do you think that the connection between attitudes and labels, would you connect that with ego?
I do think so. I'll give an example. I think because I belong to a particular race, my culture is superior. And so my attitude towards a person of another culture will immediately carry that arrogance in the way I see them, I talk to them, I respond to them, I behave with them. And you can see how that connection goes. It's because the I was not connected with the true identity of the self. It was connected with a very external fact of the culture into which I was born. And so that ego of I and my culture and the imposition of this on others and the changing my attitude towards them as seeing them as less, of course, yes, it's definitely connected.
So do you think that when we're really free from ego, then the experience would be that we would feel totally peaceful? It would that be the end result to being free from ego?
When I'm free from ego, yes, I'm very peaceful. But peace isn't the only thing I experience then. Then I can really feel love and truth and joy. All of these things are very deeply connected. Peace is like opening the door to the treasures that I carry within myself. And so it makes me realize that the things that I've been looking for outside, the love and the joy and the truth and happiness, it's not out there. It's actually deep within myself. And when I become peaceful, then I'm able to experience all these other treasures that I carry inside of my own inner world. And also something else happens, and I know that some people believe in someone up there and some people don't, but I'd just like to mention, and then if you wish, we can explore it further.
Mm-hmm.
When I've let go of ego and I've come to that inner state of what I would say is Om Shanti, Om I am, the inner being, and Shanti, peace. In that state of Om Shanti, my consciousness is aware. And in that awareness, I'm able to feel and experience the presence of the divine. And prior to that, it wasn't happening. It was like maybe I didn't even believe in prayer, so I didn't pray. Maybe I did believe in prayer, and I did pray, but it was more like a ritual rather than an experience. And so the consciousness of the ego, the external form, is the block that inhibits me, that prevents me from accessing connection with the divine. And my ego drops, I come to Om Shanti, and I can feel the presence of the divine. And I can make that connection, which is a very, very important thing for people at this moment of time. Because I think that if I'm to have hope, then my faith in the divine being is what gives me hope for the future. Otherwise, the virus is one story, but there are so many other stories that describe the situation of the current world as a state of darkness, you know, whether it's the climate, whether it's the ecology, whether it's a virus, the economy, whatever it may be, there's so many things that seem to be falling apart at this moment. And it's because we haven't given proper attention and value to all these other factors that are more important than rushing around and being busy, 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 and creating entertainment and making money. All of those things have become the priority, whereas in fact, the inner world, the peace, the truth, the love, the connection with the divine, our connection with each other, these things are very precious. And so maybe now we have the time to discover all of this.
So can I just ask you, is it when we get to, so peace is the door that opens the door towards these inner experiences. So if we experience love and truth and joy, as you explained, is it after we experience that that we have this connection with the divine or God? Or is it through God that we get these experiences of love?
Okay. I think the first step is coming to that state of peace. And in that peace, I'm able to connect. And in that connection, I discover that I am a being of love. I receive a huge amount of love from the divine, but it's also a very lovely discovery to know that love was there within my own inner world, but I was chasing it outside. So it's the connection and then that experience and the realization that this is who I am, but also that I'm receiving a huge amount from the source.
So we have, I think, another 3 weeks of lockdown. Do you think it's possible? Do you think it's possible to do this in 3 weeks?
I think it's possible to do it in 3 days.
In 3 days. Okay. So that's fantastic. Yes. So I think this is a lesson for all of us. I mean, I've been meditating for over 30 years, and so there's always something new one can can learn from this. So would you like to give us kind of a step by step how you would do this? So saying that I don't know who the audience are out there, so maybe there are some new ones, maybe there's some people out there that don't know us at all, I don't know, but if we could do this in 3 days, and 3 days is quite practical, talk us through the steps of that in 3 days.
Okay,
it's a theory, but how would we do that?
In 3 days, the first lesson to take on would be the awareness of the self. And maybe if you want to go into it a little bit deeper, it's not just one session, but maybe it's two sessions that would take up that aspect of who the inner being is, what is the inner being, and coming to that awareness where instead of the physical consciousness, now I really feel I am that being of light that shines in the center of the forehead. And when I shine, I radiate this light, I radiate peace. And then the second day would be the subject of the divine. And even as a starter, if I don't believe in God, that's fine. Let me begin with the awareness of the soul, who am I? And in that awareness, stay in that awareness as you hear the subject of the divine and to understand who that being is, what are the qualities of that being, and also what are my relationships with that being, the qualities of that being. So that's the second step. The third step would be then to learn the technique of meditation and various factors that would help me in my meditation, to be able to see how meditation is linked with practical life. And so these would be the three steps: knowing the self, knowing the divine, and then understanding more about the technique and the logistics.
So for those of you that are online and listening to this, I would suggest you join in the Raj Yoga course. That would be my adding to this, because to understand the self, we need to have a little bit more information on that. So thank you for that, Sister Jenty. So we'll look forward to a massive shift of at least 99 people will shift in their consciousness by 3 days, which is fantastic, because I think that's exactly what we need to see. So would you like to just offer us a little experience of that? Could you do a little commentary that would take us through those kind of steps, all three of them? You could do in one. Would you be able to do that for us?
Sure. In fact, we'll be taking up the two steps, the soul and the divine, in this commentary.
Okay.
And the third step would be when there's time to explore about the technique and what would be the things that could help my meditation, etc., etc. So we won't look at that now. We'll just take up those two things.
Okay.
Sitting comfortably, and you can just let your eyes relax, but not necessarily close, because you might just drift off to sleep if you close your eyes. But just keep them lightly open, gently. And if it's a struggle, then it's okay. Just let them relax and shut them. But the important thing is what's going on in your mind. So I'll speak out my own thoughts and invite you to follow these ideas. Sitting quietly, I go on an inner journey, going inwards, going deeper and deeper within the self, and finding that space which is deep inside where no one else can enter. And here I realize that peace is my original, my natural state of being. And in this awareness of peace, I know that this body is separate, and I, the soul, am the shining light in the center of the forehead. I hold this awareness of the identity, which is eternal, my spiritual identity, stabilizing my thoughts in this awareness of who I am. I can feel the presence of the divine. And from the source of light and love, the vibrations of the ocean of love reach the soul. From that being of light, the supreme, come rays of light that surround me. And the waves of the ocean of love fill me with strength, empower me, and this light and love protect me. And the vibrations of this love and peace spread out into the community, reach out into the world, touching the hearts of all human beings, touching all forms of life, so that all the creatures on this planet feel safe, secure. And these vibrations of this pure peace and love reach out to nature, creating harmony in nature. And the protection from the one up above reaches all of us. And with this experience of peace and love, I know that all will be well. And I have hope for the future. With God's light and love re-entering my heart and the world will be a better place. Om Shanti. Thank you. As you see,
carry on.
I was going to say it's a very simple technique. You don't have to try and stop your thoughts. You just have to channel your thoughts in a different direction so that you're able to allow your thoughts to be the vehicle that connects you and communicates with the divine.
So I will just open if anyone would like to ask a question, but I'd like you to do it through the chat if you'd like to type up any questions you have for Sister Jenti. That would be great. I would like to ask you two things. I wanted to mention Daddy Jenki and her her statement, which I love very much, was white clothes and empty pockets. I love that little phrase that she used, because that was really, to me, you know, the simplicity of how we can live our life on this planet with very little, and yet, as you say, still stay happy. But also one of Daddy Jenke's slogans was, don't think. So what I'm seeing in the world outside, in my little world I can see out into the gardens here, that actually it's more silent than it's ever been before. So I don't know where all the people are. They must be indoors, or maybe they've gone out for a walk. But the whole area around here is really, really silent. So this is definitely helping the atmosphere. But this thing about don't think, trying to stop these thoughts, I feel this has a connection with ego. Too much thinking has a connection with ego. Could you just say a few thoughts on that?
Daddy Jenke was a remarkable person, an amazing woman who I knew for 62 years and actually lived with for about 40 years. And she just recently passed away. But the legacy she has left in millions of hearts is an eternal one. And yes, one of her favorites was white clothes and empty pockets, but a heart full of happiness and love. And she owned nothing. She came with very little to London many years ago. And she left with nothing more than what was on her back, basically. And so she based her life on simplicity, knowing that attachments to possessions was always going to be a trap and would create ego and jealousy and competition and all sorts of things that she didn't want in her life. What she wanted was to cut everything down to the barest minimum, so that then she could use her time, her thoughts, her energy in the highest possible way to come closer to God and to serve humanity. And she did that till her final breath. And when she said, don't think, what she meant was that this machine is running nonstop, 24 hours, 24/7. And multiply that by whatever is your age and in terms of the days that this machine has been working. And you can see why it is we feel fatigue and exhaustion. And it's not because we've physically done so much that we feel tired, but this machine has been overworked. And so just take a pause, stop for a moment, and let this machine stop. And let yourself feel who you are, the inner being. Feel that inner peace. And when thoughts come, channel them in the right way, and you'll find that thoughts become slower, and there's spaces within the thoughts, and you're experiencing peace, you're experiencing love, rather than thinking about it or even talking about it. And when we make plans, what happens is that we think about too much detail. Maybe this, maybe this, maybe this. We think all sorts of alternatives. But if I let my mind become quiet, and in that quiet, then I make a plan, then I'm going to be able to have a clear idea of where I'm going, what I want to do. And I don't need to get into all the details at this moment, because many, many things will change. And just think about how one little virus changed our lifestyle totally. And all the things I had planned to be doing in April went out of the window. I was supposed to be in Worthing and with you in Brighton today. And instead, I find myself sitting 5,000 miles away. So if I'm thinking, oh, I should be there, I can't be there, what can I do? It's a waste of time and energy. But let me accept the situation. And in that acceptance, it's not defeat. In that acceptance, My heart becomes calm and peaceful. Ego says control. If I'm in that state of ego, I want to control everything around me. But I don't know how to control my mind. I've lost control of that, but I want to control everything out there. And when I've dealt with ego and there's awareness of the spiritual being, the soul, then whatever is happening, if I can change it, I would, but I can't. So let me stop thinking about that and let me control my thoughts and let my thoughts come back to a natural state of peace. The fewer thoughts I have, the more powerful they will be and the more effective they will be in a practical way. We have too many thoughts, and how many of those thoughts take practical shape? 10%, 20%? The rest of it is just hot air. And so this is why Daddy's mantra of don't think is very powerful.
We have a couple of questions here. First question is, can you tell us the difference between ego and self-respect?
Ego is connected with all these external factors. And you can see how I can have a very big house and yet I'm very insecure inside because I don't have my own inner state of dignity or self-respect. So my ego says, yes, I need to have a big house, but it doesn't give me my self-respect and it doesn't give me dignity. I'm insecure. And so when I say my self-respect is more important than the external trappings, then I go on this inner journey. And my self-respect is determined by the qualities that I carry within myself. And when I go deeper and deeper and realize that my own core values are of truth and love and beauty and joy, and I see those within me, and the more I'm able to express those in my life, the more self-respect I have. The more I'm able to follow through my own inner core values in my day-to-day activity and behavior, the greater my self-esteem, my respect for myself.
There's another question here about how do I stop my heavy heart not being able to, because I'm not able to hug my grandchildren, my friends and family. So how do I stop my heavy heart because I'm not able to do that?
There are different ways to express love. And one way is through the eyes. Get your grandchildren on a video call, a WhatsApp call. Technology has given us many toys to play with. And just tell them, okay, just sit there in front of me and see if you can catch the love that I have for you falling from my eyes. And in that silence, just communicate with them through your eyes. Also, our thoughts reach each other, and our thoughts and feelings also share that love. And you can tell them, just feel me giving you a big, big hug and holding you very close. And just transmit that thought to them through your thoughts of pure love. And they'll feel it. Your good wishes for them, your good feelings for them also are a language of love. And so you can be creative and find different ways to express that love. So you don't need to suppress it or forget about it or hide it. No, find different ways in which to express it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Another question is how to detach from the material world. I think this is quite a good question to look at, because when we do eventually get out of this, we are going to see a lot of difference in the world. So what tips would you give about how we can detach ourselves or start to look at detaching ourselves from the material world and still be in it?
I think that the starting point has to be a little bit different. And if my starting point is the deep understanding that I am this inner being of light, then I know that this physical body of mine is a fantastic instrument, but I'm not attached to it. I am the master of this physical instrument, this precious body, very valuable, amazing creation of nature and God. And so I value it, I love it, but I have to be the one in charge of it rather than letting the body determine how I feel and what's going on. And so in this awareness of this first step of detachment from the physical body and seeing the joy and the beauty that comes in this awareness of the real identity of the self, then in that stage, then I ask myself, well, what is it that I really need? Yes, I need my own inner attributes. I need to experience those and I need to share those. And so sharing a moment of joy with another, communicating words of love with another, this is important. And not just one other or four others, but whoever it is I'm in connection with. And so to be able to have that inclusion in which the world is truly my family. In that way, I'll realize that there are things that are far greater than material possessions. And the more I enjoy the beauty and the joy that comes from the spiritual consciousness, I don't need to get another pair of shoes. I don't need to go looking for a bigger car. I don't need those things. Yes, I need a minimum level of comfort. I need wheels to move around, but I don't need a bigger car. Maybe I need just two wheels, a bicycle, and that'll be enough. Maybe I decide, well, what I really need is to be able to walk, and so I'll choose that. So this different consciousness of coming to the inner being, I'm not depriving myself of anything of the external world, but what I'm going to do is to simplify my life so that I don't miss it. Because if I'm attached to the things of the material world, then it causes me a lot of grief, a lot of sorrow. And I want to keep myself free from pain and sorrow. I don't want that anymore in my life. And so my attitude to the things of the world outside and what it offers is now very different. The things that are most precious are the things I carry inside myself. And the other thing that's precious is to what extent I'm able to share this with others. Getting more furniture for my house when I'm starting to declutter. Not a good idea to go shopping and buying things and throwing away food because it's going stale, which is what all of us used to do. I hope that that's been another lesson learned from the virus. Let me buy what I need, but let me not throw out any food at all. So there are things that I understand more deeply through a spiritual consciousness.
Very practical, very helpful. I think that's very helpful because we are all in this lockdown. You know, there was the panic to start with, to go shopping and buying food. But actually, I think in these couple of weeks, you really recognize how much food you can eat. You might buy tons of food, but actually you can't actually physically eat it all. So this is a very nice to see that if the happiness is coming from the inside, then there's less need to take from the outside. So another question is about social media, and what are your thoughts about people posting their achievements and places they've been and happy moments? What do you think about people posting things like this on social media? Do you think this is a connection with ego?
Selfies, definitely big time ego. But generally, I see how technology has kept us all in touch, especially over this period of quarantine, isolation, and so on. And so I see the joy of that. I see the value of that and the need for that. So I'm not putting down social media in that way. I see it's a great tool. But I see how we get obsessed with it. And so instead of enjoying the moment, I want to take a photograph of it. You know what? It's actually recorded. There is a picture of this moment in my head. And so let me keep that. But instead of that, I want to capture it. And how much jealousy am I creating in others when they see me with this thing, that thing, or the other thing? And maybe I'm not actually very happy inside, but I'm putting on a show just simply to be able to tell the world how great I am. So yes, I do see that a lot of manifestation of ego comes on all of these different channels, avenues. And I just have to be discerning for myself and see how much time and energy do I want to give to this, to such an extent that, yes, I'm in touch, I'm in communication, but I don't go over the top and just make it my obsession. And I see many people are truly obsessed with all these devices and social media.
So thank you so much, Sister Jenty. Time is nearly up. Our time with you is nearly up. Would you like to just take us into another space of peace before we go?
Thank you, and thank you for very good questions.
And thank you for very good answers.
Okay, just relax. Let the body let go of whatever tension there was in your legs, in your thighs, in your back, in your neck, and your face. And I go inwards. And I come to the core of my being. And I find peace is waiting there for me inside. It was always there. But I looked for it outside. Now I know it's inside. My thoughts connect to the divine, the supreme, the being of light, the source of all attributes. All treasures are open for me. The power of God's love heals the soul and the wounds of the past are healed. The power of God's love fills me with gratitude. And in this state of gratitude, there is also forgiveness. I can let go. And in letting go, I am free. Gives me back myself. I am the child of the divine. mine. And I have the fortune, God's love. Reaches out to my entire human family. And it ignites hope in human hearts. The power of love holds us together. One family threaded together with God's love. The love extends to all creatures, all forms of life. And they feel peaceful and calm. The love extends to nature. And nature returns to harmony and its own rhythm. God's love heals the whole world. God's love keeps us safe. Om Shanti.
Thank you, Sister Jenti, for giving us 1 hour of your time. And thank you for answering the questions so beautifully. And I hope everyone has learned quite a difference between self-respect and ego, and actually that the greatest thing to have is peace. So peace is the doorway into all the other beautiful things that are inside. So thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you to all of those who are participating.
Om Shanti. Thank you. Om Shanti.